is here, of course. Everyone and their dog knows that the election is just 6 days away, a week from yesterday. 1 week from today, we should have a new president-elect of the United States that I hope will be Barack Obama. Now, I should tell you that the tracking polls are getting a bit closer. I still think we're going to have victory, but if there's ever been a time not to be complacent, that time is now. The Republicans are throwing every dirty trick in the book that they can. In Colorado, they're removing voters from voting rolls. In Florida, they're doing best to make lines as long as possible, trying to cut down voting hours and voting places so that people who don't want to wait 4 or 5 hours to vote will go home. In Virginia, they're making sure that there are insufficient machines in minority communities. In Ohio, they're doing their best to take voters who have some typo in their registration, not the voter, you understand, but some clerk, I'm thinking about Elizabeth Dole, I'll get to that in a second, some clerk writes the Social Security number wrong in filling out the voter registration form. They want those people to be banned from voting. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Dole is accusing her opponent, Kate Hagan, in a very tight race in North Carolina, where Dole was behind, of accepting money from the godless. That's right. She's accusing her opponent of, oh no, get this, taking money from atheists, American atheists. What did she promise in return? I'm going to want to play that ad for you as well. Meanwhile, on the national level, of course, they're going after Barack Obama and his other associations. Well, you know about Reverend Wright, and you know about William Ayers. They got a new one now, Rashid Khalidi. He is a Palestinian activist who Obama has associated with, talked with, attended actually a dinner in his honor. He's a Columbia professor. He actually taught English to Obama when he was at Columbia. And the insinuation is that if Obama talks to the guy and is nice to the guy and is friendly to the guy, he must share his views. Of course, we later find out that John McCain also once was on a board that gave money to Khalidi's organization. Again, whatever you think about Khalidi, and I think some may support his views, is this really what the race is coming down to? So we have all of these dirty tricks, all of them being thrown at us. At the end of the day, Republicans are doing everything they can not to talk about the issues. It is become a race between Obama and Obama. Nobody likes John McCain, but can they scare enough people about Obama? And, the right thing failed, and Ayers failed. Now they're trying this Rashid Khalidi thing. We're going to give you all the details this hour. And I'm going to play for you at some point in this hour a long extended clip between myself and a person who claims to be a Democrat in favor of McCain. Last week I had the distinct privilege and honor of filling in for a talk show host by the name of Leslie Marshall. Her show is up and down the entire East Coast. And it was a privilege because I got to talk to a large group of Americans, and people got to speak to people who were undecided, to people who are actually McCain supporters, and try to persuade them. And what's interesting to me about that conversation is the way the caller was focused much, much more on trying to smear Obama than on policy. But I'll play that for you as well. Of course, if you want to call in, you're welcome to do that. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We're going to get to all the dirty tricks today. What's going on in Florida and Colorado, Virginia and Ohio, and virtually every swing state. Before we do that, I think I'd like to start with my clip from filling in for Leslie Marshall to just show you how I dealt with a person who I don't think is a bad human being, but is I think, using his bias, his prejudice, his preconceived notions to oppose Obama. And I play this because we all have friends and colleagues and neighbors who, yes, are supporting John McCain. And not all of them are theocrats. Not all of them are ideologues. some of them are just people who really, I guess, haven't thought it through. So let me play for you what I, a 12-minute exchange that I had with a caller about a few days ago.
Welcome to the third and final hour of the Leslie Marshall Show. No, this is not Leslie Marshall if you're just tuning in. This is Mark Levine. I host the Inside Scoop. The Inside Scoop out of Washington, D.C. I'm a former congressional attorney. I used to work for the Democrats on Capitol Hill. I used to work on the House Judiciary Committee, House Homeland Security Committee, at a time when the Republicans were in complete control of our government. And if you like that control, if you think that the last 8 years have been terrific, if you love the economic crisis we're in, maybe you just think the war in Iraq is a terrific thing, or maybe you just love massive government deficits, well, then you'll probably want another 4 or 8 years under McCain and Palin. But there are some, apparently, I'm told, even Democrats who are supporting John McCain. Now, that's a very rare thing. There are plenty of Republicans that have abandoned John McCain and Sarah Palin. I mean, I talked about them, Chris Buckley, William F. Buckley's son, or Colin Powell, or, you know, the Chicago Tribune for the first time endorsing a Democrat, this right-wing newspaper. We've heard a lot about Republicans for Obama. We've barely heard it all. There are very few Democrats for McCain, but I got one on the phone. At least he claims to be a Democrat for McCain, an astounding thing. Anthony, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mark?
So, now, are you truly a Democrat for McCain, or are you putting me on?
I am truly a Democrat, and I do not love anything that's happened in this country over the last 8 years.
Well, then why support McCain?
Well, let me say this. To me and to my family, economics comes secondary to American safety, and that's home safety. I just do not feel comfortable with Barack Obama being able to prevent another 9/11. I mean, let's be honest here. You said to your last caller, and I thought this was a very interesting comment, you said, sometimes people we love say things that make us cringe.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about you or me. We're talking about the leader of one of the greatest nations on this planet.
Right.
And he has someone who he claims he loves for 20 years saying, God damn America. Let the chickens come home. These are words that our president or future next president is going to be associated with someone.
But he doesn't agree with them, right? You understand that. He didn't agree.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, they made him cringe, as he said.
But you're talking about the president of our country. I mean, you're saying something. I mean, does someone go somewhere for 20 years and has no agreement with the place they're going to worship?
Well, no, not no agreement. I mean, let me ask you this. Anthony, did you see the entire speech that Reverend Wright gave? Or did you just see that 10-second clip?
I've seen more than the 10 seconds.
You've seen the 10 minutes around it that's on YouTube? Because I have.
Yeah, more
than you know, for example, that Reverend Wright was not saying it out of his own words. He was quoting our ambassador to Iraq who said it. And what Reverend Wright was saying in terrible ways that made Obama and me cringe was he was saying something that I don't think you'd disagree with, Anthony. I don't disagree with. He was saying that there's something called blowback in American policy. In other words, when we, for example, got rid of the democratic government of Iran and we supported the Shah and then helped him torture people, then he's overthrown, we get this radical, awful government in Iran we have. When we helped the Afghanis fight back against the Soviet Union, which I think was a very good thing. In the meantime, we had blowback. We actually aided Osama bin Laden, gave him weapons he would use against us. We propped up Marcos and Noriega, and then they turned against us. What the person who Reverend Wright was quoting was saying was that when we do these things in foreign policy that are, you know, the idea of, well, he may be a bastard, but he's our bastard. In other words, we support these dictators. That sometimes it blows back. Sometimes it comes back to haunt us in ways we can't imagine. And what Reverend Wright was saying, and he was saying it in a terrible way, I agree, and Obama agrees, but the general point he was making, which is that we go around, we support these dictators, and then we say, God bless America. Well, you know, America's damned around the world for some of the things that we do, right?
That's my point. I mean, we're in a time where we're in a critical time. I mean, people around the world hate us.
Yes, they do. And that's a reason to vote for Obama, don't you see that?
No, this is where you're wrong. I mean,
you know, by the way, that the world greatly prefers Obama. You know, yeah, that, right? Yeah, I mean, they even did a poll. It was 80-20%, 4-1. The world would much rather see Obama there than John McCain there because they think John McCain will continue the policies of George Bush that have made the world so mad at us.
Well, I feel Obama makes us very vulnerable.
How so? Let me give you a specific example, Anthony. Do you know about the example of Pakistan?
Says that the U.S. spread HIV.
Now, no, he didn't. Obama didn't say that.
No, Obama didn't, but his a person he loved for 20 years.
Right, but he never heard him say that.
Why is the media trying to downplay? I mean, you're talking about one of the, he's going to be the leader of the greatest country on earth, and you're trying to downplay his associations with
That's
people.
Right. Because I think that we should listen to what he says rather than his association.
I mean,
you know, John McCain was associated with Charles Keating. He called off regulators cost us $3.4 billion. Does that mean that that John McCain supported Charles Keating's fraud? You know, John McCain was on the boards of groups that turned out to be anti-Semitic. That doesn't mean John McCain's anti-Semitic. If we had Obama saying those things, that would concern me greatly. Absolutely. Because But Obama isn't saying those things.
Okay, well, put it this way. Now, Obama is this man that he supposedly loved for 20 years.
Yep.
Now that the campaign comes around, he pushes him away, right?
Well, I think he pushed him away because he learned about some of these more radical things. You know, Reverend Wright is kind of a wild guy. But some of the things he says, I think, are perfectly reasonable. He has said some extreme things that... you know, I certainly wouldn't associate myself with, and neither would Barack Obama. But
Barack Obama.
But he doesn't. Listen, let me ask you this, Anthony. Do you go to church?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And are you Catholic?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Has your priest ever said something that you found made you cringe?
Maybe once or twice.
Maybe once or twice. Now, what if somebody was filming that? And the once or twice, the one or two things that the priest said that made you cringe, and put it forward on YouTube and suggested that you, Anthony, are responsible because of these one or two things that your priest said that you felt at the time were out of line. And then tried to say, well, Anthony, you can't be trusted because your priest said a couple things that were out of line. I mean, we have seen a very small portion of Reverend Wright's stuff. And I agree with you, they're out of line. I completely agree with you. Barack Obama agrees with you, too. But you can't say that this is representative of this guy when you show, you know, 15 minutes out of hundreds of hours of preaching.
Well, I don't know if you call that preaching or you call that anti-American.
Look, if he had said it a better way, if he had said that America is the greatest country on earth, but it's made tremendous mistakes, I think you and I would both agree with that
statement. What about the spread of AIDS?
Well, now, what he said was, and I completely... This, by the way, was the most disgusting thing he said.
Insane. Would you agree with me? These preachings are insane.
I'd say it's disgusting. It would be my use. Insane. I don't know if it's crazy. I'll tell you this, though, that the particular thing, the HIV thing... Barack Obama said he never heard it before, and I believe
Barack
him
Obama
because I think he would remember that one.
After he got outed, and let's be honest, the media here is pro Barack Obama, and nothing's even played anymore about it.
Really? Because I see the Fox Propaganda Channel, and they're strongly pro McCain. Let me ask you this, Anthony, because I think it's fascinating that anytime anyone wants to talk about why they're supporting McCain, that, you know, they raise up these associations for Obama. They don't cite Obama's views. Let me ask you about Obama's views on a very specific issue, because here's a real difference in terms of protecting this country. The first thing you said is you were afraid that Obama wouldn't protect this country. Here's one place that Obama and McCain differ strongly. Obama has said that if Osama bin Laden is in Pakistan and he had actionable intelligence, in other words, he could take bin Laden out, and the Pakistanis were unwilling or unable to do it, he would go in, he would bomb even in Pakistan and kill bin Laden. McCain disagrees. McCain says that even if there's actionable intelligence, even if we can kill bin Laden, and even if the Pakistanis are unwilling or unable to do it, we should let bin Laden go rather than drop a bomb in Pakistan. In my view, Obama is right on this issue. What's your view? Is Obama right or is McCain right?
You know,
should we kill bin Laden even if he's in Pakistan? I think we should. What do you think?
I don't know. It's a tough call.
Really? Is it tough? Bin Laden killed 3,000 Americans, including
You know what? But you know what you're trying to do? You cannot even compare, as far as America, you cannot compare McCain to Obama. Here, let me give you my example.
I just gave you a specific issue. Yeah, it wasn't about associations. It was about where they stand on the issues. And on this particular issue, I think Obama would be stronger than John McCain.
He would be stronger? Here, let me give you why he would definitely not be stronger. When he came up on Reverend Wright, and for his
always Reverend Wright.
No, hold on. I'm going to give you the example.
Okay.
Barack Obama pushed him away. But John McCain was being tortured for the United States of America for 5 years. He didn't push any country away.
That's a weird comparison.
Well,
that's a really strange comparison. If you know, Obama didn't push Reverend Wright away at first. Well, what he said was...
He's not around his arm no more.
No, what he said... No, I know. Let me explain. At first... He made the comment that we talked about. He said that there are people we love that make us cringe. And he gave the example of his grandmother. He didn't want to push him away. And then Reverend Wright did even more extreme things. That horrible appearance before the press club where he made a complete fool of himself. I would use a stronger word, but I can't use it on radio. And at that point, Obama understood, okay, he's got to completely disown the guy. Absolutely. Now, I don't know what that has to do with McCain and torture. I really don't.
Well, when the heat is up, McCain don't fold. And I think America...
Well, but don't you think Obama was right to distance himself from Wright? I mean, you can't argue both ways, Anthony.
If it never came out, Obama would still be going there on Sundays.
You're just speculating. Here's the thing, Anthony, by the way, about McCain folding. Democrats don't talk about this very much because we honor his service. But I want you to look at McCain's biography. I'm not making this up. When McCain was tortured, he ended up signing a statement condemning America. Now, I hate to even bring that up because I don't blame him. I understand that when you're tortured, you sometimes have to do extreme things. That's why I don't agree with us torturing other people, because I don't think we learn the truth through torture. But John McCain, look it up. I'm not making this up. I'm sorry to say. John McCain, when he was tortured, I'm not blaming him, but apparently you are. When he was tortured, he did sign a statement condemning America, and one that he said he very much regretted. And I'll tell you something. John McCain should have learned from that experience. He should have learned that torture doesn't bring truthful statements because he himself lied in condemning America when he was tortured. He should have learned from that experience, and he should have opposed our CIA torturing other people, and I'm really regretful that he, of all people, continues to support torture. But I appreciate your call, Anthony. If you want to talk some more, you're welcome to do so. We just got to take a quick break. Back after this.
So let me tell you why I played that segment for you. To me, it shows the typical thinking of people on the right, and not necessarily the people who are theocrats and want to, torture women and gay people and stuff like that. But someone who's, let's just say, been watching a little too much of the Fox propaganda channel. And what's fascinating to me is a guy like Anthony is not looking at the issues. He simply is looking for excuses to support who he already wants to support. Anthony comes in there, and he claims to be, from the beginning, a Democrat for McCain. That's what he said to the screener before he came on the show. And he says Obama would be not as good security-wise as McCain. So, you know, I took him at his word. And I give him a very specific example, one that's gotten a decent amount of press to people who follow these things. I showed him how, at least if Bin Laden, in terms of going after Bin Laden, you find that Obama is actually stronger for going after Bin Laden than McCain. Now, put aside for a moment the, you know, whether or not you support that. I happen to. Some of you may not. That's okay. The point is that here is a Republican, or excuse me, a self-proclaimed Democrat, McCain Democrat, all three of them, who says he's voting on security issues. So I give him a very specific security issue, where Obama is tougher on Bin Laden than McCain. And he says it's a tough one. Now, I would bet dollars to donuts that I'd high switch the two, gave the exact same positions, only said, you know, Obama in Pakistan and McCain was, this guy would have been, wave the flag, you know, send out the bombers, kill Bin Laden, bring his head on a platter. But I presented him something that didn't fit into his worldview. It happens to be true. And he was sort of stuttering. He didn't know what to do because his worldview says attack bin Laden wherever he is, right? I mean, there's some on the left that don't agree with that, but none on the right. Everyone on the right believes, and frankly, most Americans believe, that we got to get bin Laden. So when I challenged his worldview, he said that's a tough one. Now, what did he do? He constantly raised Reverend Wright. Go on the issues. Wouldn't talk about the issues. The issues were tough for him. He was out to knock Obama based on associations. And we go through Reverend Wright because then he has to admit that he hasn't seen all the speeches of Reverend Wright and that he himself has attended a church where he's heard some things that his priest has said that have made him cringe. And, well, you know, is it fair to judge him based on all of that? I actually think, maybe I'm just dreaming, but I actually think that, well, I helped make the guy think. What can I tell you? I actually think that I helped convince him to take Obama seriously. And if I didn't, I know this, I helped convince others. And to me, I think the way to do it is not to not to attack, not to say, well, you know, Sarah Palin gets, you know, prayers to stop witches, right? Which is true. But that doesn't really help the situation. I mean, that, when you start trading association for association, I mentioned some of these things. I mentioned so many things. I mentioned Charles Keating with John McCain. But the guy isn't going to play that game, right? I mean, if you go down the gutter, association for association, and it's all true. I mean, I mentioned that John McCain has been on the board of some anti-Semitic organizations, but I don't think John McCain is anti-Semitic. And you hear what I'm saying. Why is it that John McCain can be on the board of anti-Semitic organizations and not be anti-Semitic, but... you know, Barack Obama can be on a board with William Ayers and suddenly he's a terrorist. So I showed him how illogical he was being. And again, my goal, and not so much here on the Horn. On the Horn, I think we pretty much agree on many, many issues. In fact, there's some that if they're not going to vote for Barack Obama, most listeners here, if they're not going to vote for him, are going to vote for Nader or McKinney or someone like that. And I'll be fighting with you on that issue. But with Middle America, if you will, with people like Anthony, it seems to me that I was taking, frankly, a page from Barack Obama. You note that when John McCain was throwing all the everything but the bathroom sink at Obama, Obama did not respond in kind. And some Democrats complained about that. Some Democrats said, you know, I mean, Obama did put out, his campaign put out the Keating 15-minute video, which is very well done, by the way. But you didn't hear every time McCain said Ayers, Obama didn't say Keating, which he could have, right? I mean, you know, McCain was reprimanded by the Senate. That's pretty serious stuff. He could have brought up all of McCain's associations. Now that they're bringing up, you know, Rashid Khalidi, Huffington Post has determined that, guess what? John McCain's board gave this Columbia professor group more money than Obama's board did. Oops. Oops. Americans don't care about this stuff. Americans who have already decided to vote for McCain are using this stuff because they think it persuades independents, Democrats, and wayward Republicans. It doesn't. You only care if you already know you're going to vote for John McCain. Kevin from Brooklyn, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
I have two words to say, white privilege.
Okay.
And the reason why it's about race, a lot of mid-America, a lot of sectors in America, even though we're overcoming it, still have a hard time wrapping their head that a person of color is going to be commander-in-chief, regardless of how good he may be for this country.
You know, I think there's truth to that, Kevin. I also think, I remember back to 2004, though, when people were talking about the Swift boat and John Kerry, and that had nothing to do with race, but had everything to do with a smear campaign. So I guess I think it's a combination of the two. A tendency by Republicans to believe that only dirty tricks, only smearing works. I mean, I think Karl Rove proved that to John McCain. I think John McCain was actually a very different person in 2000. And then he was smeared, ironically, by a race-baited smear campaign. They accused John McCain of having an illegitimate black baby, when, of course, John McCain has adopted his daughter from Bangladesh, a relatively dark-skinned child. And I think that John McCain decided, if I can't beat him, join him. Dirty tricks work, and Bush proved it. He beat me with dirty tricks. So if I can't run pure with straight talk, I'll run with lies and dirty tricks. And what's fascinating is it doesn't seem to be working this year.
Well, I'm not even talking about John McCain. I really don't think John McCain himself is a racist. I think he's an opportunist, but not a racist.
Well, you know, you could say the same about George Wallace, right, Kevin? I mean, George Wallace, a lot of people don't know this. George Wallace in the 1950s ran a fairly, particularly for the South in that time, a fairly pro-civil rights agenda. I mean, he actually, again, compared to other Southerners, I don't mean to say this is some massive standard, but compared to some of the race baiters of the time, in the 1950s, he's relatively moderate. And then he got beaten in a primary by a Democratic opponent who went out and called him an N-lover and, you know, used the N-word and really nasty, nasty, nasty race baiting until George Wallace said, I will never be out N-word again. And that's a very famous quote by George Wallace. And from that point forward, he went out and he was racist with the best of him. Not necessarily because the guy's personally racist. You know, later on after America changed a bit, he actually took some of that back. But because he had no problem using racism opportunistically, which is actually a very racist thing to do. But the point is that he used it as a tool, as a means to an end. And I think McCain is doing that.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it was mentioned on the program last night, the greatest sin is not necessarily, you know, hate, because it's indifference. And indifference, and this is, you know, I accuse a lot of mainstream white America of being indifferent.
Indifferent to race?
Indifferent to race. And what I mean by in a negative manner, meaning that they're not going to stand up to it. It's not affecting me, so I'm not going to stand up to it. They themselves may not have that hatred in their heart, which I think is a very small percentage, but they're not going to do anything to stop it either.
You know, that's a problem, I think, with people who stand by with all kinds of evil going on in the world. I mean, there's lots. You know, we see genocide in Darfur. We don't do anything about it. We see our environment going to hell. We don't do anything about it. We see racism around in our lives.
Oh.
There are people in California that are about to vote November 4th to deny gay people civil rights because they're not gay. It doesn't affect them. You know, indifference can be very, very dangerous. I mean, the most, you know, reminds me of, a couple things. One, the famous case in New York City of the woman who was screaming out she was being raped and no one came to help. And if you want to go even darker, you can talk about Germany in the 1930s, when I don't think the great majority of Germans supported murdering millions of people, but they just stood by while it happened. Indifference is deadly.
Well, you know how they are able to enforce or encourage indifference, make people so desperate materialistically, which is what the Republicans did, just the same as the Germans, as far as threatening your job or your way of life or whatever, that you're forced not to take a stand.
You know, I got to tell you, Kevin, I think that what's fascinating to me in this particular election, and I'm very proud of my country, and we haven't done it yet, and if John McCain wins a week from now, I will not only eat my words, but will be basically crying on air. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But to me, the election of Barack Obama, and it hasn't happened yet, so I don't want to be complacent, but really could be the symbol of a rebirth of America and a symbol of putting our best foot forward. And it's true. It's true that a lot of people are voting for Obama out of fear, just like they're voting for McCain out of fear. They're voting for McCain out of fear because Obama is new or black or radical or whatever they believe about him, Muslim or whatever lies they believe. But people are also voting for Obama because of the economy. I mean, let's face it. And it's just because it's so horrific that they're even willing to put racial issues aside, which, let's face it, are far more important to black Americans than most white Americans. And instead, they're so scared of how the Republicans have ruined the economy that they're willing to take a chance on a half black man. But whatever reason they're doing it, I think it will be remembered in history, assuming Obama is elected, and I do expect him to be, as a real turning point in American history.
Oh, well, you're absolutely right. And too bad it took to the point that so many people had to suffer so much for them to even consider someone of color as president.
And that's why, and I'm going to get to this in the second half of the hour, which we're coming up on, but that's why all these dirty tricks, particularly about voting, really rankle me, because you're not going to find white-only, lunch counters. They don't exist in America anymore. But when you have white-only polling places, which is an exaggeration, but basically when they're not allowing polling machines to minority areas, or where, as happened in Virginia, again, some, I don't know what to call them, racist, moron, idiot, nasty person, put out the flyer that we see every single year in every single election. Republicans vote on Tuesday, November 4th. Democrats, because of the busyness in the polls, are going to vote on Wednesday, November 5th. Now, I don't know that anyone's stupid enough to believe those flyers, but they must think they work because they come every single election year.
Well, the thing is, they're counting, first of all, I don't even know what to say about it.
I don't know. Maybe if they think that 500 people are that ignorant, you know, in a whole state, those 500 people could make the difference. I mean, you know, we've all
seen. In some rural, cut-off part of Virginia.
Or just a new voter. I mean, you could imagine someone who's not that politically aware, who's registered, who's 18 years old, who sees the thing as like, oh, okay, well, I'm a Democrat. I would punish those people severely. Maybe they think it's a joke. But the idea of tricking Americans into not voting, to me, is no laughing matter. And I would have very, very serious penalties. They never seem to catch the people. But, I mean, I'm talking major felony. I think something like that should be, I don't know, 5 years in prison. That
exactly.
would do it. Mandatory.
Well, this is why, like, fundamentally, and, you know, I bring up the issue of black Republicans, I don't understand their mindset. How can you be with a party that fundamentally has systematically denied your right to vote?
Well, I say the same thing to gay Republicans. I say the same thing to Jewish Republicans.
Oh yeah, and Italian. Anybody who's not of that
America has known. I mean, there's a reason why it tends to be straight white Christian males who are the base of the Republican Party. But there's a lot more. You know, that's a minority of Americans, and getting to be an increasing minority of Americans. And I don't mean to attack straight white Christian males. They have every right to. Some of the best liberals are. But it just seems to me that the Republican Party is turning increasingly inward and increasingly angry and increasingly negative, and that Sarah Palin is the embodiment of that.
Well, why is that? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Now, like I said yesterday, the party is now split in two because it's scaring off the somewhat sane end of it.
Right.
Okay, that's a big deal when William F. Buckley Jr. said he's supporting Barack Obama.
That is a big deal, and it's not just him. I mean, look at two former Republican senators. Charles Mathias, he's from Maryland, but this is a guy whose family's been in the Republican Party for four generations. All right. He talked about in the article how his great-great-granddaddy ran with Abraham Lincoln. I mean, okay, so he was back when the Republicans were a completely different party. Okay, that one makes sense. But Larry Pressler of South Dakota? South Dakota is a pretty damn red state. He's voting with Obama. Charles Free, the Solicitor General for Ronald Reagan, right? Douglas Kamek, a right-wing conservative professor who annoys me to no get out on constitutional law. I mean, really, he after Bush v. Gore, I decided I could never respect this hack again. But he's voting for Obama? I mean, it's weird. How do I hate the guy? I mean, I'll tell you one thing every single one of them, though. Every single one of these people I discussed, they're all intellectuals. They're conservative. They're right-wing. I disagree with their agenda. But the one thing they are is intellectuals. And it seems to me the Republican Party hates – today's Republican Party, not the past one. Today's Republican Party hates intellect, hates people who try to figure out how the world works, wants people run by dumb emotion.
And that's what's scaring off – the moneyed end of the party.
It's the Pitchfork crowd. It's the Rush Limbaugh crowd. It's Pat Buchanan's crowd. It is raw anger and emotion. It is, frankly, the stuff of which fascism could be made, except that I'm quite confident they're a small minority. Well, not too small, but definitely a minority of Americans.
Well, the thing is, again, and... I keep on going back to the B word, meaning bigotry. It is still about, even though it's a small, I would say about 20% of America who thinks this way, their reach is very long.
Well, and we still have churches preaching hate. We still have some up front. I mean, for gay people, it's up front. It's from the pews.
That's the last series.
Sometimes it's up front. Usually on race, it's behind closed doors, though, there's these wonderful two guys from my home state of Tennessee, from Bells, Tennessee. Did you hear this, Kevin? Two kids, 20-year-olds from Bells, Tennessee, which is talked about part of the Belt Buckle. It's this tiny little town in Tennessee. We're going to dress up and their tux and tails. I guess they have to – I don't know, rent them? Do they have them in Bales? There's my elitism, right? And going to go out and shoot black people and culminate in killing Obama. And they were going to, let's get this right, kill 88 and behead 14 because I'm told that 88 stands for H.H. Heil Hitler and 14 is comes from the magical phrase, which I've forgotten, but something like preserve the right race in white children and whatever the phrase is, it has 14 words in it. I mean... these people exist. They are dangerous. Luckily, they are so completely ignorant that they usually can't get their act together to do a lot of damage, but you never know. And
there's always that loose end.
Exactly. Yeah. Might get lucky. So, but to me, the fact that they're so – that the active, violent, hateful people, the ones that actually would kill – do seem to be on the margins these days, and I'm glad to see it. And I actually think that after this election, there'll be even more on the margins. Now, it may just make them angrier, but I think that – I mean, I'm looking at polls, right? It's not – I mean, Virginia, I'm very proud of my home state. I think that my state will be the one to put Barack Obama over the top. But North Carolina, very, very close. Now, there's some problems in North Carolina. I'm going to talk about I need to get to all the different ballot problems. So I will go there. But Georgia, amazingly close. This is a state that this is strong red McCain state. The latest poll,
I
1 point behind in Georgia.
But Missouri, the areas that have money are predominantly black in Georgia.
Well, that's true. But generally, most states that have a large black – none of them are predominantly black. Most of the states that have a large black minority have extremely, should I use the word racist? I guess I should. Racist whites. I mean, look at a state like Mississippi. Mississippi has the highest black population in the United States. I think it's 35% or 40%. And yet they never vote statewide for a black candidate or a Democratic candidate because the 65% of whites that are there are all voting 90% for the white Republican candidate. So, that's just the way it is.
Well, that's Mississippi is a relic of the old South, and but I think when you start hurting financially, which a lot of white Mississippians are,
right?
They're gonna change their
Well, I'll tell you, he'll be the real test for me. It'll be Bob Kincaid's home state of West Virginia, which actually doesn't have that many African Americans. It's not a particularly African American state. It's mostly white state. It is the least educated state in the United States, at least according to one article I just read. These are poor whites who are hurting terribly by the policies of the Bush administration. People who are nominally registered Democrats, but I just think if there's a single state where racism is playing, it's probably West Virginia. And again, I've already
spent a lot of time in West Virginia. Trust me.
Not attacking him at all, in any way, shape, or form, or his lovely family. It's not his fault to live in the state he lives in. After all, I'm from Tennessee. West Virginia is the only state in the entire United States that Kerry was polling better in at this point than Obama. It's very interesting. In all the other states, Obama's doing the same as Kerry, maybe a point worse. Most of them he's doing way better, 10 points better than in 2004. West Virginia is the exception, and I have to think it's race. So if West Virginia votes for Obama, then I'll really be excited about America turning a page.
Well, I don't know about West Virginia. You know, I spent plenty of time in the eastern part of West Virginia, Berkeley County, which is really a suburb of Washington now. So that will go Democrat, but the rest will go Republican, I think.
Anyway, Kevin, I appreciate your call. I got some other business on
plate. No problem.
With all the different problems in the various states, but I always appreciate when you call. You're a terrific caller. I want to get into some of the polling problems. You've probably heard about some, maybe not others. In Colorado, there is a dispute because the Colorado Secretary of State has removed a number of voters from the voting rolls. You're not supposed to do that within 90 days of an election. There's a dispute there. In Florida, we talked about this before. There are incredibly long lines. In fact, it's true for everywhere there's early voting. There are incredibly long lines. This may be the highest turnout of an American election ever, and I can't think of anything more wonderful than that. In Florida, the Republican legislature did its best to keep people from voting. What they did is they restricted voting to places like, you know, the county seat and the county registrar there. And the Democrats said, no, wait a minute. We should include libraries and, you know, all kinds of public places. It wasn't just them. The county officials, election officials, said we need more polling places in early voting. Republicans said no, and they actually said, and we're also going to restrict voting hours. We're going to close them at 3 p.m. So last week, Florida voters were getting there when the polls opened at 10 to 3. Now, talking about banker's hours, and waiting and just starting to cast their ballot at 3, or people would get there at 3, and if you get in line, as you may know, as long as you're in line at a polling place before the polling place closes, you will be allowed to vote. Remember that on election day if you happen to be a late voter, and don't be. Vote early, folks. Don't risk it. But, you know, if your polls close at 7 p.m. and you get in line at 6:50 p.m., you can vote even if you have to wait in line until 11 p.m. That's the law in every state. But people were getting in line at 3 p.m. or 2:50 p.m., and the polls would close in Florida, and they would be there till 8 p.m. So I said on this show that I thought people need to vote out their Republican legislators because they're so angry for standing in line 5 hours. Interestingly enough, the governor of Florida, Republican Charlie Crist, has responded to such huge anger that he's actually extended the voting time to a normal hour. Maybe if we get rid of the Republican legislature of Florida, we can do it ourselves. A Democratic-leaning county, Broward County, where you find Fort Lauderdale, has gone one better. And they've done something that I think every single county in the United States should do, and frankly, now that I think about it, I'm shocked they don't. They take their seniors, who are 18 years old, on the school bus to an early voting place, and they send them to the voting place. Now, you know, you don't have to vote. You can stand in the machine and do nothing. Nothing against the law about what they're doing. But for all the things public schools teach our kids, it's not at all harmful once every 2 years, certainly once every 4, to send your 18-year-olds over to vote. Way to go, Broward County, and way to teach public service. And I am just waiting, waiting, waiting for the Republicans to attack the public school of Broward County and say, you can't force those kids to vote. What a terrible anti-Democrat. They won't know what to say. How dare you make people vote? Anyway, I'm looking forward to that particular complaint. In my home state of Virginia, there is a battle over machines, election machines. You see, Virginia is doing the right thing, but too late. The right thing, of course, is to go to voter-verified paper ballots. That's clearly the right way to go. It's something that I have been advocating, and many on this show have been advocating, really, since the debacle of 2000. And Virginia still has the old DRE machines in some of its county, the old Diebold machines. And that's terrible. Luckily, some 35 states finally have the correct machines, so you know, we're in the minority of states that have yet to get with the program. But Virginia has decided, thankfully, finally, with its new Democratic legislature, which was just elected a few months ago, that after this election, they're going to go to the voter-verified paper ballots. Terrific. We're getting rid of these horrible machines. Terrific. Wonderful. Love it. But in the meantime, we got these machines for this election. So they passed a law that says, you know, after whatever, 2007, you know, or the date that the law was passed, you can't use these machines. You can use the machines for the current election, but you can't, you know, buy any new ones or lease any new ones. But we have a problem in this particular election, and that is that the registrations are out the window. It's actually a very good problem. Hundreds of thousands of new Virginians want to vote. So they need more machines. And guess what? Guess what? Those machines are largely in minority areas. No surprise. African Americans are very excited about voting for Barack Obama. So are young people. They're also in college towns. So the cities of Richmond, Virginia, heavily African American, and Charlottesville, Virginia, heavily college student, said, hey, we got way more people registered than voting machines. The ratio's out the window. We need to lease or purchase some DRE, some of the old voting machines, just for this election. And then, of course, we'll switch to the voter-verified paper ballots for the next election. Well, the Attorney General of the state of Virginia, a Republican man by the name of Bob McDonnell, who barely won his election by 300 votes in the last Virginia election, talk about a squeaker, said no. He said, the law says you can't use these machines anymore. He took a very good law, a law that gets rid of these terrible machines for elections after November 2008, and says, no, you can't use any more machines. And no, you can't use the paper ballots either. So you can't use the newfangled technology, and you can't use more of the old technology. In other words, I want as many long lines in Democratic-leaning areas as possible. This is the guy that's going to run for Virginia governor. In Ohio, we've got the same problem. Similar problem. We have a Democratic Secretary of State, Jennifer Bruner, a very good person, who is protecting Ohioans' right to vote while the Republicans are doing their best to kick out people because some clerk put the numbers in wrong. Now, we've already talked about that one. That's already gone up to the Supreme Court. And to my surprise, they upheld the Ohio Secretary of State. In North Carolina, they have a problem with the straight party ballot. You see, in North Carolina, you can pick a vote that says, I'm voting for all Democrats, all Republicans. But that vote, that pick, does not include the President of the United States. And the reason for that, and this is actually the fault of North Carolina Democrats, is that back in the 60s and 70s when you had, in the 80s, you had Walter Mondale at the top of the ticket, the North Carolina Democrats wanted to make sure that people could vote for all the Democrats on the local ticket and still vote for the Republican president because they were afraid that otherwise people would, if the president was included, they'd just say Republican because they wanted to vote for Ronald Reagan and bingo, all the local offices would be Republican. Now, the easy answer is straight party tickets are stupid. right? Just vote for each person. If you like the Democrats, vote for every damn D. If you like the Republicans, vote for all the R's. But because of this system, where you say vote straight Democratic and you click on it, and guess who it doesn't include? It doesn't include Barack Obama. Everybody but Barack Obama. So now, apparently, there's tens of thousands, some say more than 100,000 early voters in North Carolina, which is overwhelmingly pro-Obama. All the early voters are overwhelmingly pro-Obama. In fact, what's interesting is that the places McCain is tightening is the people that haven't voted early. McCain's practically tied. One poll even showed him a point ahead of those that haven't voted yet. But what I'm very scared is we may lose North Carolina because a bunch of early voters, due to bad ballot design, click straight party ticket and neglected in 2008 after 2 years of campaigning to vote for the president of the United States. Meanwhile, in North Carolina, Elizabeth Dole is trying a different kind of dirty trick. She, of course, is running for re-election in the Senate. Her opponent, Kate Hagan, has pointed out quite accurately that Elizabeth Dole spent some 30 days in North Carolina in 2006. That's not a lot of time in your home state when you're a senator from that home state, a month. She's in real trouble. So Elizabeth Dole has decided to play a different kind of card. The godless card. Here's a 30-second ad from Elizabeth Dole about her opponent, Kate Hagan.
I'm Elizabeth Dole, and I approve this message.
A leader of the Godless Americans PAC recently held a secret fundraiser in Kay Hagan's honor.
There is no God to rely on. There was no Jesus.
Well, Hagan, under God, out of the Pledge of Allegiance, you're down with that.
We're down with that.
And in God we trust, you're going to whip that off the money?
Yeah, we would.
Godless Americans and Kay Hagan. She hid from cameras, took godless money. What did Hagan promise in return?
There is no God.
Godless Americans and Kay Hagan. What about the satanic Americans, Elizabeth Dole? What about them? Godless Americans. Yes, Ms. Dole, there are atheists in America. And you know what? They have every right to do whatever they want as anyone who believes in religion. The Constitution expressly says there is no religious test for office. And that was our dear founders, back in an era where they had slaves and women couldn't vote, much less run for office. And even then, they said no religious test for office. Now, Elizabeth Dole's doing one better. Not only is she clearly saying an atheist can't be a United States senator, but an atheist American shouldn't even have the right to give money to the candidate of their choice. The positions that she's talking about, most of which I support, you know, things like God shouldn't be in the Pledge of Allegiance or on the money, are not Kay Hagan's positions. Kay Hagan is not an atheist. But Elizabeth Dole is saying you associate with atheists, which I guess is as bad or worse than association with terrorists. Kind of reminds me of the famous Jesse Helm ad in North Carolina. You know the famous one where the white person didn't get the job because of the black person crumbling the letter. Here's the thing. It's weird kind of defending this thing. It reminds me of all the people calling Barack Obama a Muslim. I mean, he's not a Muslim, but so what if he was? John McCain responded to the crazy lady who said Barack Obama is an Arab by saying, "No, ma'am, he's not an Arab. He's a decent family man." Oh, that explains it. See, he can't possibly be an Arab. He's a decent family man. So what's Kay Hagan supposed to say? I am not an atheist. Not that there's anything wrong with being an atheist. I that's what she has to say. Right? It reminds me of the people that used to call certain white Southerners N-lovers. N being the N-word that I don't want to say on air. N-lovers. So what are you supposed to say? No, I'm not black. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's shocking. I got to say, it's shocking to me. I still have a hard time believing the polls. And I've seen them, and they repeat them again and again and again and again, and I don't know why they continue to shock me. But the polls that show that, you know, 89% of Americans said they'd vote for an African-American, 93% of Americans say they'd vote for a woman, you know, 88% say they'd vote for a Jewish person, 65% say they'd vote for a Muslim, 60% say they'd vote for a gay person, 40% or 45% say they vote for an atheist. It's the only category in America that's below 50%. The majority of Americans say, I don't care what the person's stand is on the issues, I'm not going to vote for an atheist. Godless Americans. Wow. Free thinking's in real trouble. You would think that people would be secure in their religion. People who believe in a very strong faith would be secure enough to say, you know, I believe in God so much, I'll convince you it's right. That's okay. I don't want them to do it on taxpayer dollars, but people want to try to convince people about God, fine. If people want to try to convince people about no God, fine. And we're supposedly fighting the Taliban because it's a theocracy? I got to say, Liddy Dole surprised me here because I guess I didn't think of her as Sarah Palin. I guess I didn't think of her as Jerry Falwell. I guess I didn't think of her as James Dobson. I expect such things from those kooks. Elizabeth Dole is the wife of a, you know, respected Senator Bob Dole, who, while I disagree with his politics, is not known to be a theocrat. I don't think of Bob Dole as, you know, one of the mega churches. And I don't think of Liddy Dole that way. At least I used to not think that way. But Liddy Dole, like John McCain, like George Wallace, is willing to do things that I think she probably finds personally offensive in order to win. George Wallace made up racism. I mean, he may have been racist. He probably is, was, whatever. But he certainly knew how to use it when he could. Joe McCarthy. Very few people know this. It's one of my favorite little facts. Joe McCarthy, in 1950... had decided that he needed to run for re-election. He was a junior senator. He was losing in the polls. And he decided he was going to make his election on the widening of the St. Lawrence Seaway. He was from Wisconsin. They had a lot of shipping. They needed wider access to the ocean. And that was going to be what he was going to run for re-election on, when one of his aides said, almost as a joke, why don't you do one on communists and government? Joe McCarthy snickered. And a couple weeks later, pulled out an old laundry list and said, on this list, I have 28 members of the U.S. government who are communists. A list he never showed to the press. And that's how the Red Scare began. Even before George Wallace, Joe McCarthy, George Wallace, Elizabeth Dole, John McCain, these are people who know how to use hate and fear and ignorance to rally up a hateful, fearful, ignorant population that can be demagogue, and there are some. They may be a minority, but there are a lot of them. They're the ones you see at all the Palin rallies. And for that, I have to lose complete and total respect for the Republican Party. There's a reason why the Republicans or intellectuals are leaving, not because they cease to be conservative. They are. We disagree on that. But because they've seen that their party has become un-American. That's it for the Inside Scoop. I'll be on 2 hours tomorrow. You won't want to miss the special 2-hour Inside Scoop tomorrow. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.